Everything you need
for a brand new day.
Cliffo and Kate for breakfast.
It's a brand new week. Welcome along to the Cliffo and Kate podcast, everyone.
We had a very lucky chat to a lucky man called Trevor who owns Stewart Drive Food and News, who sold the $1 million winning lotto ticket in Woogaroo last
week. He's the man who makes millionaires, Kate. plus, on the serious side of things, we do usually keep things light and bright, but there's no escaping of, just hit me again. It's gooseies. It's full on what happened at Westfield Bondi Junction on Saturday afternoon. I think it's very, very rare if you're listening to the podcast on the day of publication. Flags flying at half mast around the nation today as we remember those six victims lost in that senseless attack. More on that coming up very soon on the Cliffo and Kate podcast.
A Townsville resident has scored a $1 million paycheck after they won the Wednesday Gold Lotto. The man that sold the $1 million ticket is Trevor from Stewart Drive Food and News, and he joins us this morning to talk the $1 million ticket. Morning, Trevor.
Good morning. How are we today?
Really good, Trev.
Really good.
It's great to meet you, particularly after Julie called us on Friday. We only became aware of this news because Julie rang us to say thanks to you for what you do, Trevor. Have you heard this call?
No, I didn't hear this call. I heard about it, and one of my friends rang me and said, a lady rang up and was talking about my shop or something. Yeah.
Yeah, have a little listen.
My congratulations is to Trevor. He's been a local in our suburb for 30 plus years that I know of.
Yeah.
And he's sold all the lotto since then. So congratulations to him.
Nice to get a pat on the back, Trev.
It is lovely. Yeah, I've got some lovely customers coming to my shop and they really appreciate the service of local business and being there for them. Yeah, that's very appreciative, yes.
Trevor, it was a lovely story. The $1 million question literally is, has the person come forward yet?
Yes, the person has claimed the ticket, yes, and very excited, and I'm very excited for them.
Is it someone that you knew, Trevor? Is it a Woogaroo local resident?
It's not a Woogaroo local, but they are regular customers, yes. They come past my shop on a regular basis and they always call in. And they buy their lotto tickets, they said, off me all the time.
So how long have you been working at the shop for?
Not very long, probably 25 years.
So is this your first millionaire in that time?
It is the first millionaire. We've sold a few scratchies, 600,000 and a few hundred thousands. We've sold a lot of second divisions in the lottos, but this is our first crack at the big one, yeah.
Trevor, what does that mean for your shop? Is there a plaque? Is there some like trail and commission that maybe gets thrown your way? Like, what does that mean for you as the owner of this business?
What it means for me personally is I feel privileged to be a part of someone's life-changing experience. $1 million is a lot of money. They'd never save that in a lifetime. And by being there and selling tickets, I've changed someone's life. And the recognition I get through the media, through you guys, the bully, and whatever, is advertising that you couldn't pay for. And I just feel privileged to be part of that little circle at the moment.
You sound like a bit of a glass half full kind of guy, Trevor. I like it.
Yeah.
Going
and the attitude I tell people, they come in and say, I don't want to buy a ticket. And I said, I've never seen anybody win lotto without a ticket.
A news agent with a sense of humour as well, mate.
Look, you're obviously doing a good job. Trevor is this guy's name. Stewart Drive Food and News is his business. For Julie to call up and just shout out to you obviously means you're putting some smiles on faces in our community, Trevor. So we appreciate it, mate. Well done on selling the $1 million ticket. And if you could sell the next one to me, that'd be great.
Okay, well, you've got to have a ticket first.
I'll see you soon.
See you, bye.
Triple M's pressure test. 10 questions, 60 seconds, and a grand in the hand.
Pressure test back tomorrow, Tuesday, April 16, Kate.
The question, Clifford, now, if you do not get this right, you are in some serious trouble. You are a book nerd, you are a bookworm.
Yep.
Who wrote the famous novel To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
I do know.
Yeah.
That was Harper Lee.
Correct.
It just had to come to me. Harper
pressure.
Lee.
Pressure.
Yeah. It's called the pressure test for a reason.
It is.
Harper Lee, your free answer for tomorrow's pressure test on Triple M.
Farmer Wants a Wife has returned to our TVs, and I am so happy about it. We are joined by the hostess with the mostest, a real-life farmer's wife these days, Samantha Armitage, joins us this morning. Good morning, Sam.
Hello, Kate. Hi, Kifo. It's nice to talk to you.
It's always lovely to have you on, Sam. I'm looking at a photo of you with your Kubra hat on, leaning on the fence in the paddock. I'm just seeing a woman who does not regret leaving Sunrise one iota, leaving the city behind and living the farm life.
Do you know what? I haven't missed it for 1 minute. Life is pretty good. I'm kind of getting all the balance in order these days. I mean, you never have perfect balance, do you? But I really like what I've got going on at the moment. We have a lovely life about an hour and a half south of Sydney on a farm. And then I just come into the city when I need to work. So life is good.
It sounds like you've got it absolutely sorted, as opposed to us two here who are slogging it away at doing breakfast radio hours. Now, Sam, I'm a self-admitted Farmer Wants a Wife fan. I don't like reality TV shows, but I'm not alone in saying there is just something about this beautiful show that is real and it's authentic. What do you think it is that it's captured the hearts and minds of so many Australians?
Well, do you know what, Kate? I don't really like reality TV either. And so when the network came to me and said, do you want to, you know, have a go at this show? I was like, oh. And then I thought about it and I thought, this is actually my life. I think the network worked that out before I did. So it's been a nice place to land in the network. I think the farmers are really genuine here. They are all there. They're very nervous on set, which tells me that they are not after the fame and wanting to be TV stars. But they're genuinely looking for love. And we sort of match them up. The ladies apply to meet the farmer. So there's that initial connection, like there should be in real life. So that once we start filming, it's up to them to do the hard work to make it work. But there's an initial connection. So I think that attraction is really important.
When the opening sort of part last night where there was Bert, Dean and all the boys and stuff, and there were all these nervous ladies, what was the atmosphere like? Because I felt nervous for everyone there. It must be such an intimidating sort of moment for everyone.
Yeah, I'm sort of only 3 years into this, so I'm quite new to it too. But on the first night of filming, we film in the Hunter Valley, the wine region of New South Wales.
Oh, and horrible for you, Sam.
I know, life's so terrible at the moment. So all the ladies arrive. And on that first night, we've got like 40 or 50 women in the room and 5 farmers. And don't forget, these blokes are all from pretty isolated spots. They live on their own. Farming by its very nature is quite an isolated profession. And then all of a sudden, each bloke has to go and speed date 8 women in one day, and the nerves are huge. I'm terrified for them. They make me really nervous, and I've been doing TV for a very long time.
Just quickly, Sam, I don't want to run out of time, but this show actually has runs on the board. There's marriages, there's even Farmer Wants a Wife kids out there.
Oh my goodness, 9 marriages, 27 babies just from the Australian 14 seasons alone. So it's been really successful. It's a really happy show. It's nice to be part of it.
You're like a baby boom, Samantha Armitage.
Well, yes, not for myself, but for others. Yes.
Sam, I've got a final question. Historically, there's been some intruders or a bit of a curveball that's sort of been thrown in at the end of the series. Can we expect a similar sort of curveball at the end of this series or midway through the series?
Well, Kate, we don't like to say intruders. We leave that for Big Brother.
Oh, that's
but
right.
Let's say there are.
Sonia Crew is entering the experiment.
I'll leave that to Sonia. There is a few curveballs.
Okay.
Yes, I can tell you what that is. There is a few things that happened this year that have never happened before. It's worth watching.
All right, keep an eye out. It started last night. Farmer Wants a Wife only on Channel 7 and the 7 Plus app as well. Host Sam Armitage, you enjoy that farm life, cowgirl, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. Nice to chat.
News this morning, I heard this on the way in on the night shift with Luke Boner. Flags will fly at half-mast across Australia today, as directed by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, after the horrific events that unfolded at Westfield Bondi Junction in Sydney shortly after 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. 6 people now confirmed dead, Kate, and an attacker also gunned down in just a senseless attack that I think the world really struggling to comprehend.
I've been struggling to comprehend this, Cliffo. And, you know, upon a bit of reflection last night, I did literally cry myself to bed last night. And I thought, why has this hit me so hard? And I think it's hit a lot of people really hard. I think the kicker for me was, look, six people have lost their lives in this tragedy, and that's very upsetting. And excuse me if I do get emotional, because the kicker for me was that lady, Ashley Good, who lost her life. She's a 38-year-old woman who was desperate to be a mum. And she went to the shops to do her shopping, to have a coffee with her beautiful 9-month-old baby. And she never came home, Cliffo. Makes me really sad. Because she could have been anyone. And I think every mother who saw that news went, that could have been me. That could have been my friend. And that's why I think it's so heartbreaking. That sort of stuff shouldn't happen in our country, Cliffo. Mm. Shouldn't.
Is it the sort of case, Kate, where you're relative similar age?
Yeah.
To Ashley. You have a 1-year-old daughter, only a matter of months older than Ashley's daughter. Is it a matter of, like, you put yourself, I guess, in that position? And
100%.
For me, there was a moment where Ashley handed her 9-month-old baby to two men, two brothers, two strangers who she'd never met before.
Yeah.
Her baby was was bleeding.
Yeah.
And these two strangers went to a nearby shop, and they had to get T-shirts to wrap around the baby. But my mind goes back to that time, because, you know, you're a parent, I'm a parent.
Yeah.
But that split-second decision that Ashley has made, that I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, I don't know if I'm going to, I have to hand my baby
to a complete stranger.
To a complete stranger.
It was.
I can't get over that moment in my mind. That
neither can I. It was a very brave, selfless act that she did to save her own, child. That child apparently is doing okay. It is in hospital. It's just, it's touched so many people. I don't know anyone in that tragedy, but I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that, you know, we feel everything that's going on down there. It's just been so upsetting and so sad. And, you know, everyone might relate to something different. But for me, it was that beautiful lady who only got to be a mum for 9 months, and she was so desperate to become a mum. And I feel for her beautiful partner, who's just lost his partner as well. And I feel for everyone who has been affected by this. And, you know, I've got all of my family is down in Sydney, and I can sort of put my hand on my heart and say, you know, it's really touched the community down there. Everyone's been to Bondi, Cliffo. If you've been to Bondi, everyone's done some shopping at Westfield. Probably the other really, sad thing, or the really thing that really stood out for me, was there was a man that came out of Westfield with his two children, and he had blindfolds on them because he didn't want them to see what was going on. And I can't imagine what was going through that man's head. But again, for him to not want to subject his children to what was going on, I understand that.
It's a day and a half on. We still struggle to comprehend just the senseless loss of life. And this morning on Triple M, we pay tribute to those victims who have lost their lives in that horrific incident at Westfield Bondi Junction.
This mother starts screaming really, really frantically, running back and forth, like she doesn't know what to do. Then she runs back to the pram, picks up her baby, and then all I see is blood.
Just holding the baby and trying to compress the baby, and same with the mother, trying to compress the blood from stopping and calling ambulance.
I came out of the hairdresser and I seen a gentleman chasing the attacker with a knife. He was shouting that you've just stabbed my wife. I didn't really know what to do because he was literally next to me. We all went back into the hairdressing shop where we were. We all stayed inside.
I saw the one of the copper, so I followed her. And just as we got around the corner, there he was. He just come in and just started floating towards us, and all I heard was put it down, and she shot him. She didn't shoot him. He would have kept going. He was on the rampage.